Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All right, this show brought to you in part by SimpliSafe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about break-ins ever again. Just go to simplisafe.com/Adam, get all the sensors you need, all the help you need as well to set it up. Custom system's going to show up post-haste at simplisafe.com/Adam.
Well, in the first half, we'll do trending topics. I'll speak to an amazing singer-songwriter, Paul Janeway. You're going to love him. First, there's Geico.
Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, everybody. Hope you all had a lovely holiday break, giving gifts to and fighting with your family. So I wanted to remind you guys that the Carolla Family Barbecue is fast approaching. Saturday, June 18th, 2022 is the day. Lit, Loxy, The Smoke and Kills, and a ton of your favorite ACS comedians will be there soaking up the sun, food, and booze. We hope you're going to be there, too. We have a pre-sale that went quickly, so I decided to open this thing up. I am adding 100 extra tickets for this year's barbecue. That's 100 extra tickets. Bundles, barbecue, bar crawl. Take your pick and do it quickly. These are going to go fast. When the tickets are sold out, the only way you'll be able to get into the event is through the Case Club at CarollaDrinks.com. We can't wait to see you guys in June for the third annual Carolla Family Barbecue. Oh my God, it's exciting.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from St. Paul and the Broken Bones, Paul Janeway, and comedian Jeff Richards. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Chris Loxamana does some trending topics. And now, passionate about not being compassionate, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice but to demand it. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so Chris has got some trending topics. It reminded me that I was talking about one of them during Reasonable Doubt, where Garagos brought up a case, and the case was with Drake. Drake had hooked up with some Instagram model, and they just, you know, met in the hotel room kind of move. And when he was done, he took his spent condom and threw it in the trash can, but not before putting a bunch of hot sauce in it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so, okay, so what
old trick.
What happened was it?
She's suing potentially now.
Yeah. So there's an Instagram account called Too Much Hot Tea, appropriately named. Mm-hmm. And they posted a picture of Drake with a caption on it. Instagram model ready to sue after Drake allegedly put hot sauce in the condom. And I'm just going to read you the description here because it's pretty great. So, allegedly, Drake and the IG model met up on Instagram and the two decided to link up a few weeks ago. The model and Drake had a romantic encounter, and what happened next was, well, crazy. After the party, they went back to his hotel. They smoked weed for a bit, and he asked if she wanted to have sex. She said he was very intent on ensuring things were consensual. They started with a bit of foreplay.
What a Canadian rapper.
Yeah. They started with a bit of foreplay. He rubbed and sucked her titties for a bit.
Oh, my.
He then went to the bathroom came out with a condom on.
Mm.
And nothing else?
She said he's about 7 inches thick and cut. They fucked for about...
Well, it was Jewish.
Seven inches thick? It's a weird...
Well, 7 inches, comma. He's also thick, and comma, cut. And cut.
Oh, okay.
When did that Oxford comma?
Yeah.
All right, far the news is good.
Right.
They have padded bras, Gina Grad, but no one's ever gotten onto the padded condom.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, interesting.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Leaving money on the table, yeah. Trojan.
That's right.
We'll present that to Mr. Cuban next time.
Please. Yes.
So they fucked for about 20 minutes. He mostly hit it from the back.
No.
And eventually came inside the condom. Immediately after, he went back into the bathroom to dispose of it. She fished the condom out of the trash, untied it, and put the opening end into her vagina.
It was tied? Wow, tied off.
Boy, was she in for a surprise. She said it felt like pouring hot lava into her pussy.
Brian, where do you come down on tying off the condom and throwing it in the neighbor's trash can or up the Ivy embankment?
Bold moves. Especially for Drake, a good move either way because, you know, the farther away you can get it from the supermodel, the blood-sucking supermodel, the better.
Mm-hmm.
She screamed, and Drake ran into the bathroom. He admitted that he poured a packet of hot sauce in the condom.
Del Scorcho.
Him and Hillary Clinton are the two people that travel with Tabasco in their purse.
That's right.
That's right.
That's all
I've learned. Very different reasons.
That's right.
Yeah, so he admitted he poured the packet of hot sauce in the condom to kill the sperm. Now the Instagram model is threatening to sue Drake.
And on what grounds?
Well,
she's trying to...
I opened up a lot of windows to Mr. Mark Garagos about this because he thought it was pretty ridiculous as well. And so much so that attorneys always listen to the show and judges listen to the show. And I think a well-respected female judge or attorney actually contacted Mark and said she changed her mind because of many of my points.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
So... well, here's, look.
Not legal points.
A couple things. First things first, you're in the bathroom. There is a toilet there. If you would like to get rid of this
There's
condom permanently, there is a permanent disposal machine.
Send it to hell.
Many people, you know, when the cops are banging on the door and you got some cocaine in there, you don't dump hot sauce on
That's
it.
Right. Henry and Karen Hill are trying to get rid of the stuff.
Goes right to the bay, right?
Some people were saying, why didn't he do that? And a lot of people were replying. A couple things. One, you're going to clog those pipes. You want that to be your responsibility?
Drake's not at his home. He's not a certified plumber.
Mr. Hilton can afford it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So he could have. Now, the question is the hot sauce a way to kill the sperm or is it a sort of punitive thing where you're going to fuck with this person because you know in advance how this game goes?
And, I didn't even consider that. I just thought it was purely spermicidal.
This is like bait condom.
Well, you have to. First off, we're not sure if hot sauce kills sperm, but we'd have to figure that out.
In a
court, yeah, he makes a good hot sauce. So we'd have to figure that out. And then, so basically, the law says if you have a roommate who's getting into your cereal, you're not allowed to taint the cereal.
Even if the
person does steal. There are many cases where people have like booby-trapped their market or their home or whatever.
Oh, we had that. At a restaurant I worked at, we would always eat the food. So the manager, to warn us, she put a perfect piece of tiramisu into the staff area. And she poured a ton of hot sauce, Drake style, just a bunch of hot sauce on it, and then covered it with the cocoa powder. And somebody went, took a bite, mouth is on fire.
That's intent to harm, though.
Why would she do that?
Just so she's
teach you a lesson.
Yeah, teach us a lesson that don't eat the food without paying for it.
So, if first off, they get hold of his phone and he's got any text with anybody about fucking with some chick or burning her pussy or whatever like that, just because she's doing something horrible doesn't mean that he can't get into trouble as well. So I thought it was a kind of an interesting case.
Yeah.
I don't know how far she's going with it. I mean, unfortunately, the way the law works, unfortunately, is a lot of it doesn't matter that this person was breaking into your house, you're not allowed to dig a Burmese tiger trap and have him fall through on bamboo shoots and killed himself. Right. You can't do it.
Yeah.
And you're ground.
Yeah.
So Drake didn't confirm or deny the story, but he did post a thing on Instagram, just a picture of him, and the caption was, "You can have your 15 minutes of fame. I'll take the other 23 hours and 45 minutes.
Wow.
That's up.
Yeah. You know you've arrived when you try to dispose of a condom and somebody goes in after it.
Yeah, that's legendarily NBA players would have to deal with that a lot.
I thought it was getting a girl to sign an NDA. Right? Isn't that what celebrities do too? Like, hey, yeah. If we're gonna bang, you got to sign this first.
But if they're fishing your sperm out of the trash.
Speaking of fishy though, hot sauce is red typically.
Yeah.
She would think he had a venereal disease if she pulled this thing out.
Yeah, do not put that in you.
Yeah, it's...
The first thing, if you see red, that's blood.
It's got a couple of red ribbons around it. Ew.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm interested. I always feel bad for whoever the parents are of the Instagram model. Like, this is what you created. Oh. Nature or nurture.
Even worse, this is green hot sauce.
Oh, yeah. Even worse in the
He should
the
use the
department.
Off-colored ones now. Exactly. He should start moving
That's
to that.
That's chlamydia.
Yeah. You can get sponsored by Dexter. So, Drake, another reason they said why he didn't he shouldn't have flushed a condom, animals choke on the condoms when they go out into the bay. Adam, how dare you?
Yeah, I'm not a big condom flusher. I am saying that...
Upper deck.
I am saying if his concern is not to have his seed find any purchase, this is the easiest, cleanest way to do it. First off, I don't know if Drake travels around with, you know, packets of hot sauce in his bathrobe or something. You got to thread the needle a little bit there.
Yeah.
I mean, I can barely get hot sauce onto eggs without fucking something up.
Just tearing the corner off.
Just tearing the corner. It's all over the shirt, you know. Like, how is he really sitting there and doing that? Although I may adopt this just because I like, it's not that anyone would ever go after my seed, but I like saying that this is something that's necessary in my life. It sends a very strong message. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
you've
think
arrived.
About that guy who needs to poison his own seed after he's done with an Instagram model. Yeah, I like the way it sounds.
Yeah.
I theorized why NBA players don't do this, and I'm going to throw it out to rappers too. Spend a month or two banking a gallon of sperm for when you want to have kids. Get a vasectomy. Fuck all you want for the rest of your life with impunity.
Yeah, I agree. I remember talking about this with Drew the other day, which is doctors are very reluctant to give vasectomies to young men. They think they're going to want them reversed. Mm-hmm. There's some liability. Like, we had Engineer Mike. I forgot until Drew brought this up. Engineer Mike, not Mike Dawson, the original Engineer Mike
over Anderson.
At Loveline. I don't know if you were ever there with Mike.
Not Anderson started before I started.
Nice guy, but wanted a vasectomy when he was like 26, 27, had a hard time finding it. I'm not sure if he got it or not, but they're reluctant to do this.
Yeah.
Doctors.
But
they're reversible.
Yeah, they're sometimes they are. Yeah, I guess, but I think their thinking is I think a lot of it is lawyers and, you know, whatever, but it's hard to get a vasectomy when you're a young man.
And we got 10-year-olds on hormone therapy.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Hard.
Brian.
It's also hard mentally, but like guys my age are getting them now,
saying.
And they're going in groups. Like the dads are like, oh, we're all going
tag team.
Yeah, they're going. Yeah, because it's like, oh, we got to be there for each other, so we'll go get it. We'll all get them together.
Really?
Yeah,
they do that with like teeth cleanings.
No, just
facials and stuff. So it's not all.
Yeah,
group.
You know, how girls go to the bathroom together.
Same mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah, guys go. Get vasectomies together.
All right.
That's the new thing.
So
the next water cooler.
She's not filed yet.
Tuba ligation
no,
for everybody.
Yeah, it's all alleged. They haven't released her identity at all, but I mean, what a crazy, crazy story. All right, speaking of Instagram models, I mean, this next person I'm going to talk about is not an Instagram model, but a podcast host. Her name is Sophia Franklin, media personality. She hosted that podcast, Call Her Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And now now she hosts her own show called Sophia with an F, and it's a great show. I'll play a clip from it. She's a really great broadcaster. can take a listen.
All right.
I stand here today alongside Zendaya. Power to the short kings. 5'7", 5'8", best sex ever. If you are not 6 foot, you are fine.
Yeah, so, I mean, she definitely knows
where that came
knows
from.
What she's talking about.
Yeah. Sage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, talking about Tom Holland and Zendaya, who you saw their movie, Adam. What'd you think of it?
It was good. I realized
Spider-Man.
I realized that these movies are somewhat becoming a little overwhelming. There's three Spider-Men and there's five villains and it's all just sort of happening at once.
Very stimulating.
And I don't know. I'm a little more old school, just like a kind of a slower kind of a, I don't know, like you think about the Alien, the first Alien, you know what I mean? Just sort of paced and slow and you get little glimpses of, it was a big treat just to see a glimpse of the foe and of the creature, the thing. And it just built so much like Drake, so much foreplay. Was built in.
Is it full hour into the movie of an hour and 40-minute movie when you see an alien? The titular alien.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like a lot, and I get that everyone's got a short attention span, everyone's on their phone, and everyone's metronome is tick, tick, ticking so fast right now. But I always feel a little sort of overwhelmed in that there's just so much happening at once. And then I also kind of never really get the rules of Spider-Man. Like, he's flesh and blood. He's flesh and blood, but you can definitely throw him off a building and he'll smack a brick wall and slide all the way down.
Bricks.
And at some point he goes like, "Ugh!" And then he gets back into it. But then at some point they get stabbed or they get really hurt.
Yeah.
And I'm always kind of wondering, like, is it – I can go along with them for a while, but – his rules are weird. You know, in a weird way, Superman is pretty straightforward. The Hulk is a regular guy, and then he's the Hulk. You know, Spider-Man kind of toggles back and forth between being completely thrown through a brick wall and fine, and then later on he gets jabbed with something, and it's a little unclear. Good movie.
It's a little convenient.
A little convenient. It's good. But I don't know. I kind of miss the pacing of the older stuff. A little more foreplay, a little more intrigue.
So you're not into the Marvel Universe just yet?
Yeah, I watch them. Yeah. I think they're well done and all that kind of stuff. I bring Sonny.
I'm going to ask you a follow-up question. I know the answer is no, sadly. Have you seen the animated film Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse? Because this movie takes a lot of inspiration from that. It wouldn't exist if it wasn't for that. And that won the Oscar.
So
it was spectacular.
No, I have not, although I did grow up. Or I did spend a lot of time watching the animated Spider-Man series as a kid.
No. Totally different.
But the thing about the series was it had a great theme song.
Cooked.
The theme song cooked. And Peter Parker was self-deprecating, and he never got the girl at the end. And I, even at the young, tender age of whatever I was, I sort of liked the fact that he was kind of the loser superhero.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, let's go back to Sophia. So she put up a TikTok and she shared her first date ritual, which has been viewed by millions and millions of people. And what she wrote was the caption was, "Men love some healthy competition." And she posted a video of herself, and in the text it said, "When I go to the bathroom on a first date, I pay the bartender to send me an anonymous shot. So my date remembers I have options." So when she sits back down, she gets a shot from a guy at the bar.
Every good relationship is built on a nice bedrock of emotional manipulation.
Yes.
That's what she said. She says, look, if you want a great relationship, you want to find that person you're looking for, create a love triangle. She's going a whole extra dimension into this.
Maybe she's an alcoholic and just feels weird ordering two fingers plain of Jack, like, in front of her new guy. But like, someone sends it over, you don't want to insult them.
That could be it too. She says she's done with flowers too.
That's so flowers? She must be a fan of the classic movie Clueless, where that is a focal point of the movie, sending yourself flowers anonymously. So this is not a new idea. And it's probably, as Brian said, not a great way to build a relationship, but she's the one who's a, you know, the broadcasting guru. Cause wasn't it called Them Daddy? And now it's called Her Daddy.
Oh, yeah. It's called them because she left because it was a Barstool thing and she got in a fight with Barstool. But anyway, TikTok is divided. Some people are saying that's a toxic – that's a toxic, toxic strategy. Other girls are like, I'm trying that on my next date.
Well, you can't – she can't use it anymore now that the cat's out of the bag.
It's true.
She doesn't need to. But it brought me to thinking because of the girls I've dated – they have had drinks sent over to them, and I've never been the jealous type, and I've actually had girls like get mad at me, like, why aren't you jealous about this? They like wanted that, and I'm thinking, like, Brian, does that ever happen to you? And I mean, with Christy, or
early on, I laid down the law with Christy, and it's been the basis of our relationship ever since. She had been in a few bad relationships, not bad, like abusive, but bad, like, you know, just didn't get along, fighting all the time, blah blah blah, and she tried to get into start a fight with me about some relation, some innocuous thing. And I said to her, I was like, you can try to start a fight with me. I'm not going to fight back. So if this is how a relationship is going to go, then it's not going to go very far. But I'm not going to be the guy who fights back with you. I'm not your ex-boyfriends. And we rarely fight after I sort of set down that, like, establish that rule. Like, we're just not going to fight. We'll argue about things, you know, but we don't get into fights.
Yeah.
Good. I think that's a good policy. I do think
she was impressed.
I do think there's some people that get into legitimate disputes, and then there's some people that just want to scrap.
Yes.
And and the scrappers like to scrap.
Oh yeah.
And they're I always say they're the they're sort of the pit bull with the chew toy. Doesn't you can turn in circles. They're just pulling on it. What they're doing is they're going the opposite direction you're going, not their direction and your direction, just whatever it is, wherever you're going, they're going the other direction. There's men that way. There's women that are that way. Like, it's counterintuitive because you're like, why would you even think this way or go down this path? But it's not counterintuitive if it's something familiar and they want to get into it. And for things that don't make sense, depending on your wiring, it's sort of like, I don't know, like for me, tattoos are like, who would get a tattoo? It seems counterintuitive. Yeah. You know, who would get a piercing in their nose? Like if you just said to me, I didn't know anything. You just went, here's what's involved with the tattoo. Here's how it works. There's a needle and there's ink and that'll cost you $600 or something like that.
It'll be forever.
What percentage of Americans are tattooed? I'd be like, got to be way less than 1%. Who the fuck would do that? Like, to me, it doesn't make any sense. And by the way, no one admits they like to fight, but we know who they are. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because the fighters will usually, you guys tell me if you've ever experienced this, the fighters will do two things to get the fight started. They will not do something you've asked them to do, and then never be apologetic about it, but go right in on it, which then draws you in, and now we got to fight. So if you did all right, three stages. If you said, male or female, whatever it is, you say to your boyfriend, your girlfriend, husband, your wife, you go, hey, could you call the fill-in-the-blank guy, the cable guy or the dish guy or whatever, because the dish is whatever, or the cellular whatever guy, like, could you handle this thing, and then I'm gonna go to work, and then but you make sure and you do this during the day so we can get our TV back on running or whatever it is. The person that doesn't want to fight, when you come home, they did it. The person that is lazy and doesn't want to fight says, I didn't do it. I screwed the pooch. It's not going to happen again. The person that wants to fight didn't do it. And when you go, why didn't you do it? They go, fuck you and the horse you rode in on.
Right.
And now
you do?
I'm busy. Like, why? And then they start this weird thing where they go, no, I didn't say I was going to do it. I said I might do it if I was. You know, they relive conversations that never happened. You know what I mean? We all know they never happened. No, I didn't say I was going to do it. I said I could do it if I wasn't busy, but then I got
the time
busy. It's like, by the way, if we had that conversation, I would have stopped and went, well, what are you doing today? Because I want to get the fucking cable back up and running. But they do. The fighter doesn't do it. And then there's a way to get out of every fight, unless you're dealing with the, you know, Joey Buttafuoco.
There's nobody here. Everyone says to me all the time, oh, you know, Adam, the second you go, my bad, I'll fix it or I'll take care of it. Or we're done. There's no more pushback. There's nothing to fight about. The person capitulated. They just went, I fucked up. Sorry. Not going to happen again. We'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's it. But they don't. They come around. So the person, you have to not do these things. And then when discussed, you have to push back hard. Some of the favorites are like, pick out something that the other person didn't do once.
Yeah. Oh, well, you didn't.
Right. Remember, you, Kaipa, and you said you were going to get me a sandwich? Yeah, 13 years ago.
Hold that.
Bring up something. Bring up something that the other person. That's the way to scrap. Yep.
Yeah.
So who are
there's some heat seekers for that friction out there.
Like, well, that's my buddy Ray. That's what Ray would do all the time. Like, I'd go, bring this thing in, show up with the thing, or like bring it. And he wouldn't do it. And then when you asked him for it, he immediately got combative and wanted to know what you didn't bring in or whatever it is.
They're a loaded gun, cocked and ready to go at any second.
If you want to know who everyone is, you have to picture sensible words coming out of their mouth that would never work with that person.
Okay.
So if, you know, we can all have a laugh over the person who's super cheap saying, you know, let me pick up lunch, fellas. It'll be my treat.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
And
you would laugh. Right. Or if you pictured my dad saying, I'm really into cars. Mind if I come by and help you wrench this weekend? Now, it's a sensible thing for a dad, but it would sound laughable. All right. You have to picture the scrappers, the excuse makers, the arguers, the pushbackers, the what about you people. And you just picture them saying sentences like, oh, this is on me. It's not going to happen again. Sorry. And if you get a big laugh when you think about that person saying, totally my fault, 100%, not going to happen again. If that makes you laugh, then that's a scrapper. You're dealing with a scrapper. And we can all picture the scrappers, and they've never said anything like, oh, sorry, maybe I misunderstood. I understand how you would feel. It's not going to happen again. If you picture those people giving those kinds of answers and it makes you laugh, that's a scrapper.
No. And, you know, there's love languages, there's gifts of service, there's gifts of, you know, validation. Some people's love language is being exhausting. Mm-hmm. Like, they just want to grind you down. That is your love language. And I've said, and yes, men can be this person, but in my personal experience, I feel like I'm very feminine to a point, but there are some things that I just don't really see eye to eye on with a lot of women. And I have said on two occasions to two women, friends, don't talk to me like that. Don't start a fight with me. I'm not your boyfriend. We are not in a relationship. Because that's what it is. They want to fight, but if they're not in a relationship, they're going to find somebody to have these stupid rows with, and it's not going to be me.
You're right. I observe girlfriends, of other girls doing this outside of the context of a relationship.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember I dated a girl once, and we got she was trying to get me to kind of trigger me to start a fight.
I didn't want drinks to the table.
I got in my car, and I'm like, I'm just going to go. I'm going to go. I'm getting my car. And she gets into her car, which is behind me, and she bumps me.
Wow.
She bumped me.
Wow.
Like, what the? Yeah. So, yeah, they're people. Like,
second time he was tapped in the rear by that gal. Get Chris drunk and hear the first time. That's a great fucking story. You'll respect him more, I would argue.
Don't do that in confidence, Adam.
All right. Well, it is interesting. And for all you scrappers out there.
Knock it off.
Yeah, knock it off. But again, have the mode where you'll dutifully try to do whatever. But if you don't and it's on you, then you just own it. And then we can get the fuck on with our lives. Well, actually, you know, Mike August is a scrapper because I've gotten I've told you we had a 2-hour and 15-minute argument from here to San Diego like 5 years ago. We literally would not take a step backwards.
Yeah.
He dug in. He dug it. He's not a normal fighter, but once he digs in, he's in.
I've seen him get into it with like a front desk clerk at a hotel, or I couldn't even tell you what it's about because I walk away because I'm so uncomfortable that I don't want to be associated with him at this moment. So I'm just going to stand over here and let him do his thing.
Although
to be fair to him, his is more male temper-based than it is psychologically draining circle feminine. You know, one's a cat and the other's a dog. You know, like he's like an aggressive dog versus a passive-aggressive feline. But yeah, he's like old school scrapper. Totally.
People hate you.
All right. Should we bring it home, Max Pata?
Yeah, as Brian said, check out the Water Cooler podcast. Right. Why don't you?
Wasn't ready for that. There was no intro. You jumped right in off the top of the bat.
It's all right.
All right. We going outro or we good? Max Pata.
His real name's Laxamana. It's awesome. It's a save.
All right. We'll talk to Paul Janeway, who I saw during the Whiskey X thing in Vegas.
Yeah.
I think.
They were great.
I think.
No,
yes.
we saw him, Gina. It was great.
Yeah. I'm not sure where you guys were, but
no,
yeah, they're great.
That was awesome. I wasn't super familiar with the band, and I loved their whole performance.
Yeah. We were down on the dance floor.
Yeah, so they are, he is excellent. They are excellent, and he's an unlikely journey to stardom, and we'll talk to him first. Let me hit Simply Safe. Want to make your home feel safer? No better time than now. Simply Safe is giving my listeners access to their New Year's deal, 20% off plus your first month free when you sign up for interactive monitoring service. This is a great product. This is a great company. Peel and stick. Batteries last up to 10 years. You can be up and running in half an hour. You don't have to schedule guys. Come crawl around under your house and drill wires and pull lamp cord. Everything to make your house safe. Indoor, outdoor cameras, comprehensive sensors, all monitored around the clock by trained professionals. Named Best Home Security System of 2021 by U.S. News and World Report. Start feeling more peaceful and get yourself some peace of mind in the new year. Take 20% off your first month and get 20% off and get your first month free when you sign up for interactive monitoring. No long-term contracts. Visit simplysafe.com/Adam today. All right, quick break. Back with Paul right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know. It's hard work out there, owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle your policies at Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com. Paul Janeway has joined us. That is him singing The Alien Coast. His name of the album is coming out January 28th. And I want to find out some tour dates because these guys are going to be all over the place. St. Paul and the BrokenBones.com. Good to see you, Paul.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I love your voice. I love your style of music. It's kind of a nice throwback. I know you started... Well, at some stage in life, you wanted to be a preacher. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, so I basically grew up in a really rural area in Alabama, and really kind of there was a small church, and that was kind of the epicenter of all social gathering and so on. Wasn't much to do, as what happens. And so since I think I sang my first solo in church when I was 3 years old. And basically my whole dream till I was about 16, 17 was to be a preacher. That's what I wanted to be. I had a pastor take me kind of under his wing, and he'd let me do Sunday night sometimes. You know, not the main event, not the Sunday morning service, but
he was a feature. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So kind of took me under his wing. And honestly, like the church doors were open, I was there, you know, I you know, was a janitor. I was, you know, basically, you know, cut the grass or whatever I could do just to be there.
Yeah, I was watching a thing on Sam Kennison. Everyone knows famously he was a preacher. And it's a good base for performing. You know, you're on stage.
It's just you.
You have to. It's just you. You got that microphone. You're using your voice, and you have to keep that crowd engaged.
Majority
yes, Ryan.
Of them don't want to be there. They kind of have to. You know
right.
what I mean? So you got to keep them engaged, like you said.
I learned that when I taught comedy traffic school. My congregation did not want to be there Sunday morning listening to what I had to preach. But it does make an extra challenge when you have to keep them engaged. So how do you get from there to music or to your
well,
kind
always,
of music?
I always sang, but I never really had like the lead role. I had a pastor who kind of thought I'd get a little arrogant if I started taking lead. So I never actually got to do much leading. So I didn't really know what I sounded like or what I just sang. And I did an open mic night, which is my hometown, Birmingham, Alabama. And I got a reaction. I was like, okay, all right. There might be something to this. And it kind of goes from there.
Yeah, it just popped in my head. Open mic for comedians is always a disaster because you've never done comedy before. And you're 22 years old and you usually bomb. And some point 10 years later, you become sort of okay. But if you can sing, I mean, there's going to be some style and some nerves and stuff. But if you can sing, you can go out open mic job one and
dominate.
Go out there and not pick a Sam Cooke song and hit it out of the ballpark.
Well, I know is I got a good reaction. I mean, to me, comedy open mics are one of my favorite things to go to because it is really when you hear someone tell a bad joke, it's like it's amazing the awkward energy that flows through the room. But I mean, music open mics can be that way too. There can be that person that just ain't got it that kind of sings in the cracks of the piano, and you know, it's pretty tough to take.
What? I got to know, what song did you sing in that first open mic?
I want to say it was just something I wrote. You know, that's
bold.
That's,
I original.
Wow.
I know. Bold. I'm not a great guitar player. I can get around one, but I went original. That was, you know, which is took some gusto for sure.
Well, Gina's having some technical issues. We'll figure it out. So who were you influenced by? Who do you listen to?
Well, my mom only, you know, let me when I was young, would only let me listen to like religious music and then a little sprinkling of like old soul, like, you know, the Stylistics and Sam Cooke and Otis Redding and that kind of stuff. So that was kind of my only kind of alternative to religious and kind of gospel music. So I kind of ate it up and loved it. And I think it had a pretty heavy influence.
Are you still very religious? And then you go on the road, there's a lot of temptation, women, drugs, booze.
I actually have never drank alcohol ever in my life. That's
all
still
right,
to
well,
this
we got to wrap this interview up.
I know. I'm sorry. I remember like doing something with this veteran Nashville guitar player. And I was like, I said something like, well, I haven't drank. And he's like, that'll last 6 months. And I was like, man, it's lasted for a while now. It's been almost a decade. So, I'm not particularly religious. My wife is actually Episcopalian. Mm-hmm. And I do find peace in it. You know what I mean? Like, I find some peace there. It's very different than what I grew up with. You know, we were speaking in tongues and slaying, you know, all that good stuff. So
I want to
very different.
I'd like to hear some tongues because I used to work with a guy named Frank. I used to work with these born again guys who were ex gangbangers, but they found Jesus Christ in prison. And so, of course, it was a delightful experience for me, the atheist from the valley, to work with nothing but born again Christian gangbangers who install custom closets. And Frank would speak in tongues, But all he would do is go, Shandala, Shandala. And I didn't know if that was the official tongue speak or that was Frank's weird take on it. And I wasn't sure. But how does one speak in tongues? What would that sound like?
I think you just got to be in the moment, I guess. It's I got to be honest. It's not something that I'm really into at this point in my life. But it's weird. Like, it is weird because, like, you it's kind of like, I mean, it's kind of like getting caught up in all this, like, emotion and kind of craziness. And then you just, somebody does it. And then there might be somebody that interprets it. And, like, it's pretty wild to think about it now. At the time, though, it was just normal. It's what I, you know, it's what you live in, right? Now it would make me a little, I don't know if it'd make me uncomfortable, but it would make me just kind of go, I don't know what to do now. You know, interesting.
We were in a cube truck and we were in Burbank and we'd be like driving to Encino to install closets and Frank would break out the Shandala Shandala. But that's not him in the moment. I feel like he's just manufactured that. That's not him being overtaken by the hand of the Lord.
It's a gray area, right? sure. I guess it's like it's one of those things where, like, they talk about, like, it's supposed to be in the language of angels, right? And so, but sometimes I'm like, they've got some weird language stuff going on because it's all over the place.
So
I'm pretty sure I heard a guy speaking Spanish. I'm like, I think he took like a year of Spanish and he's Works using some of those in there. But you know, you can't say anything. You just got to live in the moment, but I'm pretty sure I heard that.
So you know, go ahead, Jim.
Oh, it's working. Thank God. Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to touch a little bit more on that because you hear about all the time recovering Catholics and, you know, and even Jews and, you know, people like, you know what, you're just so burnt out on the religion that you experienced as a kid. Am I back?
You're back.
Where are you personally with that? Do you still sort of carry that in your music and in yourself, or are you so over it you have to turn away from all of that?
I think it's in my DNA. I think it's like it's part of the performance, right? And it's a part of how we perform and how I perform, and I still could be able to read a crowd. And honestly, like, there are aspects that, like, I still, like, one thing that, you know, that I there are, I guess, principles that I still apply to my life that I think are very important. But I would be lying if I said I went on a regular basis or anything like that.
I mentioned before that my wife, Christy, had a very religious grandmother. She donated a lot of money to Kenneth Copeland, et cetera, et cetera. Took her to church on a number of occasions as a young girl to speak tongues.
Oh, really?
Freaked Christy out. She wanted nothing to do with it, but everyone in the church was speaking tongues and doing the laying of the hands, you know what I mean? The whole thing.
Rolling around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I probably went to church. Well, I went to church two times.
Clean the carpets?
No. One was I spent the night at Dan Gallagher's house for my Pee Wee football team. I, you know, played the game on a Saturday, slept over Saturday night, and, like, got up Sunday morning. Like, where are we going? We're going to church. That's what we do. We're the Gallagher family. Remember being a little freaked out by that. And then the second time, it's because they had free spaghetti night. That's the only time I went with a parent. I went with my mom because they were ladling out free grub.
She was a believer that night.
That's right.
Yeah. That's how they hook you.
They get you with the pasta. They fucking carb load you.
Garlic bread.
That's how they get you. I know. If I ran that church and I saw my mom walking down there with a smile on her face and an empty bowl, I'd like, turn your fat ass around. That's not how this works. You don't just come waltzing in here once a month, load up on free food and go back home to your atheist lifestyle, looking at your biorhythms wheel and other sinful, devilish products like that. Yeah, I never liked religion, but I always wished we had some of it in our world, you know, just the notion of going somewhere Sunday morning or
being thankful at dinner time, you know, saying grace or some version of that. Like, it seems like there's a lot of healthy components to it, minus the tongues.
I agree. I mean, like, I definitely fell out of love with it and had a lot of venom towards it once I, you know, got to be like 18, 19, as most people, your worldview kind of expands. But one thing, like with my wife, if we go, like, when we go on Ash Wednesday, I love that day because it's like, to dust you are, to dust you will be. And it's a great kind of centering reminder of like, no matter how hot shit you think you are, you know, you're nothing really, you know what I mean? Like, and I think that that's a great kind of centering moment. And I love that service because it is kind of about that, like, to dust you are, to dust you will be, you know, you're going to be dead at some point. So I think that's a beautiful sentiment.
Do you walk around with the ash swatch on your forehead?
I have in the past. Yes, I have.
Like, well, a funky Charles Manson.
I want to be. Exactly. I'll be consistent.
I just want people to know that my sins are gone. You know, that's really. I'm to make it.
I'm going
to
be consistent. I don't like the people with the I voted sticker on their fucking the sweater, and I'm going to be consistent. And these guys probably vote one, you know, the I voted probably went for Biden. The ash went for Trump. I don't want to see either one of them. That's the way I work. Do you think there's a renaissance? Yeah. How would you describe your music? And might we be having a renaissance for that kind of music?
Well, I think for us, I mean, we definitely, you know, some of the guys are from Muscle Shoals, Alabama, which is the home of the Swampers and some of the best music ever made on the planet, you know. And so that's very much a part, like, those guys would sit in studios and you'd have Aretha Franklin. I mean, the Rolling Stones recorded Wild Horses up there. Like, there's these beautiful, beautiful records made up there. And there was a band called the Swampers, and that's kind of how these guys grew up. And those guys had played on records that I could only dream about.
Are you familiar with the Swampers?
Yeah, the doc. There's a good doc about it.
There's a great documentary. Actually, I sang at the premiere of the documentary in Muscle Shoals.
Wow.
I was Percy Sledge's replacement.
Nice.
Percy when Sledge, a man loves a woman. Sing it. You do it.
When a man loves a woman.
Yeah. That is good, like, rhyme, but it's fine. Serviceable.
He's the church, you know, environment.
Yeah.
Exactly. But Percy Sledge, I was his replacement that night, and so I got to play with those guys, and it was an amazing night. So a lot of our guys came from that kind of place, right? So I do think that there is definitely a renaissance of people that want to hear real music and real musicians and real, you know what I mean? Like, we've taken a lot of that out of music. You know, most people now kind of go to a laptop, right? And that's not how we operate. It's a very different and expensive way of doing things.
Well, a couple things. Is Percy okay? Did he, is he still around?
He was, you know, I think, didn't Percy's pass? I think Percy has passed.
Percy Sledge?
He died in 2015.
Oh.
Yeah. He
didn't open for MC Hammer at some point in his career.
Come on.
He left money on the table. Sledgehammer would have been, that would have looked so good on a marquee. Oh, I would have gone to that show.
How dare you?
Number one.
Sacrilegious, buddy.
How dare you?
Sacrilegious.
I see, I have this thing, which is, I don't mind people that don't have a lot of ability and people who may be a little lazy, like DJ Khaled. But let's not make this popular. You know what I mean? Like, DJ Khaled, you don't possess talent. True. But you would like to get paid millions of dollars. True. All right, but let's not pretend what you're doing is something.
We'll have a subtle agreement.
Yes.
So you can do what you do.
Right. And I feel like a lot of, you know, I think what we do is we do, like, well, he does this kind of music, and then you do that kind of music. But no, you do music where you have to sing, and people have to play instruments, and people have to possess talent, and people have to rehearse, and you're actually, it's sort of the Yoko Ono's in that group. It's a modern art versus a fine art. It's not so much that this is this. It's like, no, you can't do what the Dutch masters do, so you do modern art, and you've decided that it's a thing. I think a lot of America has been fooled by this, and I would like to go back
I want everyone on stage. My plan is to watch people on stage and think, I could never do that in a million years. Not, oh, if I brought my laptop, I could knock that one out. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think Picasso said you need to learn to construct before you can deconstruct. I think about that with music. You know, like there's plenty of people I've met who do stuff on laptops who can play and are great players. So I respect that, you know, but if, you know, you can't do it. If you can't construct it, you know, with an instrument, it's just, there's many ways up the mountain. But for me, it's all, I mean, we obviously do it the way we do it for a reason.
But the good news is the kind of music that you do always seems to break through. You know, Amy Winehouse is an icon for doing that sort of analog throwback. You think Alabama Shakes. I mean, there's like all these bands that you know their names because they're really fucking good at doing the kind of music that you're so good at, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a place for it. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about the internet and Spotify and all this stuff. Like, I mean, even vinyl sales are breaking records right now. It's insane, which you would never have thought. So there is definitely a place where people want to interact with the music and hear the music. And I think there's a place for it. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I feel like there's all sorts of ways up the mountain, but for me, yeah, I mean, the more people that dig the real thing, like I'm all about it. Bring it on.
I think the vinyl sales is like kind of part and parcel of whatever this movement is. I drive around LA. I've seen more Jeeps driving around LA in the last 10 minutes than there's something about when you're being pushed toward DJ Khaled that makes you want to get some vinyl. And if you're getting pushed toward a Tesla, you want to get a Jeep. And you're always going to see people push back the other direction in the vinyl or whatever technology or society is trying to push you. There's always going to be a group that pushes back. What were we going
to
say, Brian?
Oh, feel free to disagree, say no, make me look like an idiot, but I'm guessing you grew up listening to a lot of Blue Eyed Soul, Motown, things of that nature. What bands in your life, or artists, whatever, really like open your eyes to, oh, this is what I could do, or this is what music could be, or oh my God, I love this, or what have you?
Well, I mean, the Everly Brothers, anything like that, you know, you have the Stylistics I mean, that was one of those like 70s groups that like had the four guys, and the guy would sing low and the guy was singing falsetto, and I would sing both parts. And I feel like that helped a lot. What's funny enough, though, when I was, you know, in my I was like 19, 20, an artist that really opened a lot of doors, a guy named Tom Waits.
Oh, yeah.
And Tom Waits opened a whole, like, that was my forbidden door. You know, once
he was
that door
different,
was open,
or what
was just, he was different. He was different. And he, you know, was an amazing lyricist, but he also kind of had, it was kind of all sorts of kinds of music that he kind of opened the door for me. And so that's one of those, I call that, you know, like that was my gateway drug. To a lot of different kind of music.
He was Downtown Train was his, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love that song. It's such a good song.
Brilliant. Like, there's just one of a kind.
Yeah, I always have. You can always tell. I have it with Steve Miller, and I have it with Rod Stewart. If you find yourself enjoying a Rod Stewart song, you have to figure out who wrote it. Because Rod Stewart sings about chicks and legs and getting laid, and even the president needs passion. So you find yourself enjoying a Rod Stewart song, you better take a deep dive into it and figure out who wrote that song.
What's this all about?
And that's what I did. I found myself listening to Rod Stewart's Downtown Train going, why am I enjoying a Rod Stewart song? Something's amiss. And then I went and looked it up. And it's Tom Waits. John Waits was from the Babies.
yeah, Tom Waits.
And who's good? The Babies were good. If anyone remembers that band, you remember them, Gina?
Yeah, I've seen them play live twice. They used to come in on Mark in the Morning
the Babies,
all the time. I've seen Tom come in.
Oh, but
I mean,
John.
I'm sorry, John come in
right
twice and do concerts for us doing baby songs. And I loved it.
I went out to dinner with John Waits and a bunch of like record guys.
Yeah, how'd that go?
He was asked to leave because he got so drunk and he wouldn't stop bothering me. And literally, one of the A&R guys was just like, you just have to leave, right. Which is worse for me, actually. I was more comfortable with him bothering. I liked the babies. I was sort of enjoying him being drunk and bothering me, but
it's a story.
John Waits. Sorry, not Waits.
Yeah, I was going to say, is he the missing you guy?
Yes.
I am missing
yeah.
you.
Yeah,
yes.
That's Solo, I think, after the baby. No, babies.
Babies. That has babies.
I'm just fucking around.
The baby's a rap.
Yeah, the Downtown Train by Rod Stewart. It's like you'll find yourself enjoying that song, and that's how you'll know he didn't write it.
So not a Rod Stewart fan.
No,
less of one.
Wasn't that clear? Handbags.
I interpreted that you're not a Rod Stewart fan.
Some of the stuff is okay, but the damage that, you know, Hot Legs and Passion and some of the cocaine fueled 80s stuff did, I can never forgive. I'll never be healed.
If you want my body, if you think I'm sexy, come on, sugar, let me know. So that's the one you do like.
That's a masterclass in songwriting.
It's too simple to write. First off, it's really arrogant, hubristic to do like, you love me, baby. You want some of this. Vinyl sales 2021, highest in 30 years.
Amazing.
First time they outsold CDs.
Yep.
Ever, I guess, if you think about it. So it's kind of, wow.
It's a thing. I mean, behind me is my record collection. I have like 3,000 vinyl records, and that's when I'm on.
I'm looking at the best of Rod Stewart right there over his shoulder.
Yeah, the best of Rod Stewart.
I've got it all.
I got all the variants of the Rod Stewarts. You know, with on the gold vinyl.
Remastered.
No. Remastered audio file stuff,
you can only find in Japan.
Test pressings. This is actually all Rod Stewart. All Rod Stewart over there.
Kathy's Clown, I was thinking of. You guys know the Everly Brothers?
The Everly Brothers, yeah.
I mean, they had a ton of hits, but that was a little deeper cut. It was a fun song because they were singing about this guy who was Kathy's boyfriend, who was cuckolded, essentially. Like, here he comes. It's Kathy's Clown. But good harmonies.
Great
harmonies. I'm a sucker for great harmonies. There's actually Beach Boys Pet Sound stack vocals. It's a limited, like a special edition, where it's just the vocal tracks and just listening to them do harmonies. And it's one of the most brilliant things you could ever, like, Brian Wilson, like, it's genius, but it's a special, like, it was like some sort of box set that they released, and it was like stack of vocals. And I think that's one of the best, like, if anyone's like, I want to listen to great harmonies and no music. Like, it's a really,
where do you find that?
I want to say you can find it on Spotify now. I could be wrong, but it's called
YouTube. Has it?
Yeah, YouTube certainly has it. Yeah. Stack of vocals is what it is. What they called it. It's some of the, I love it. Like that's where I get, you can hear the breath. You can hear all of those things.
Oh, they do. Wouldn't It Be Nice, which is probably chilling.
That's
on YouTube.
Well, Brian Wilson, not only did he create great music, but he inspired the Bare Naked Ladies to sing a song about Brian Wilson laying in bed and just getting fat all day.
That's true.
As I recall. So not only did he create great things, but he inspired others to greatness.
Like a ripple going on forever.
Yeah. I would say this about Ferrari. Ferrari not only created Lamborghini by insulting Lamborghini before, when Lamborghini made tractors, but then he insulted Ford and he got us to GT40.
So
it's like this one guy insulting different people got some of the greatest automobiles on the planet.
That's a content creator.
That's what I'm saying. All right, Let's see, Paul, let me give it a plug here. The Alien Coast, it's coming out January 28th. Website, stpaulandthebrokenbones.com is where you go. And yeah, let us know when you're in town. We'd love to come out and see you.
Well, yeah. Where are y'all based at? Is it L.A.?
LA. We're in L.A.
Yeah, and they're going to be here in May.
May.
Yeah, and I just want to jump in real quick because we saw them at Whiskey X and everything, but they are the best live band you could see on tour. So if you're coming by town next near you, go see them. You're going to love them.
They stole the show. They were fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, wish I could remember that. I was overserved. Talk to your mom about it.
Egregiously overserved.
I was overserved. It's not.
I mean, it is a whiskey event, correct? I mean, that's
Drake should have dumped some hot sauce in my jigger.
That's right.
Although I wouldn't say that word in front of him.
Careful now in your condition.
That's too close.
Paul, thanks for joining us, brother. We'll see you in May.
Hey, thank you all very much for having me.
My pleasure. All right. I told Chris to pull Jeff Richards doing Drunk Girl, so you guys will remember that from SNL. And the only guy to do Mad TV and SNL.
Oh, is that true?
By the
crazy.
Way. Yeah.
Well, no shit.
What year is this from, Max Pata?
Oh, I don't know. Let me find that out. Sorry, I didn't.
Would have been 1-0-3.
Can't you tell by Tina Fey's
haircut?
Well, you'll
know by Tina Fey, yeah. Well, Brian would know.
Spring break is on the horizon. A time for fun, but possible danger as well. Here now with tips for a safer spring break is our own Drunk Girl.
Shut up! I'm totally going on spring break this year. I've been going on spring break since I was 12. So I know what guys like, and I know what they want. And I'll tell you what, girls, if he can't wait, then he doesn't need you. He should be able to wait till midnight. Guess what? I got a tattoo. Do you want to know where it is?
The belly.
Do you want to know where it is? Do you want to know where it is? Do you want to know this? Do you know where it is? It's right here. And it's a butterfly. And he's flying.
Drunk girl, don't you think?
Yeah, that's from 2002.
Wow, that is funny. I wonder if you could even do Drunk Girl now.
We can ask him.
All right. Well, Drunk Girl, Jeff Richards is going to be in studio right after this.